Studio 360.
It's summer, school's out, outdoors beckons. So today's Studio 360 is about fun. Like how, for instance, somewhere right now at a picnic or a dog park, somebody's pulling out a Frisbee to toss around. Rock and roll aside, the Frisbee's one of the few goofy, exuberant fads from Eisenhower America that's had a serious long run. I mean, you don't see a lot of kids these days hula hooping. But in fact, the Frisbee's history goes back a lot further than the 1950s. We ask Paola Antonelli, who is the senior curator of architecture and design at the Museum of Modern Art, to explain why it took so long for the Frisbee to take off.
From a design standpoint, the Frisbee is quite straightforward. It's made of injection molded plastic, and it's a platter of plastic that is ribbed and then piped at the edges in order to maximize its aerodynamic performance. So it really is one of the simplest forms of entertainment and at the same time, one of the most engaging. The story behind the Frisbee is really curious. One would never imagine how the Frisbee was born. It brings us back to the 1870s, believe it or not. There was a baker named William Russell Frisbee, and this baker owned a company in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and made pies. And what he started doing is he started printing in relief the name of his family bakery at the bottom of the aluminum dishes that contained the pies. Mr. Frisbee's pies were sold throughout Connecticut and also in many universities and colleges. And the students found another use for the tin pans and started throwing them and catching them and just playing with them in the air. Quite a few years later, in California, in 1948, there's a building inspector whose name is Walter Frederick Morrison, who had a partner, Warren Franchoni. They were both flying saucer enthusiasts. And what they had done is they had manufactured a dish, basically, a plastic dish that one could throw and then catch. They had called it Pluto dish because they wanted to give it this flying saucer flavor. And they brought it to the Wham-O company. And 2 years later, the first Wham-O Pluto platter was introduced in the market. At that point, Morrison and Franchoni were doing a tour in various university campuses. They heard stories about students playing with these tins and just catching them and calling them Frisbees. And the word Frisbee came back. Testimony to the ubiquitous nature and to the importance of this object is that its brand has become a noun, like it happens when objects are really pervasive. So the Frisbee is the Frisbee, even though it's another brand, and even though the trademark should be respected, but people just don't, because the Frisbee belongs to everybody.
Paola Antonelli is the senior curator of architecture and design at MoMA.